Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
What a big Football Friday, a playoff edition Football Friday from Borgata. Cheddar Cameron and John Ritchie having some fun with you on a Friday morning. Man, the stakes are high for all these teams. I mean, another college football game tonight, then six over the next 3 days in pro football. Again, Penn State, if you missed it last night, they lost an absolute heartbreaker to Notre Dame. I mean, it was a phenomenal football game. And unfortunately, if you're from a Penn State standpoint, a very, 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 very disappointed outcome, and that's putting it mildly. A real heartbreaker if you love Penn State. It was a great game, but they just came up short in the end. Obviously, the quarterback struggled. That was a bummer. I think they, you know, make the state proud and hopefully reinvigorate some college football love around here. I'll say it hit me a bit. You know,
how much do you think people, because I didn't last night, and I know James Franklin is an easy target, but I thought he made good, aggressive decisions early.
Except the kicking the field goal from the three, I thought was...
I thought that was the wrong choice.
The one I questioned, but I did say, James, that I thought it was going to be low scoring.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it, but you know, you can make an argument either way. In the end, it didn't work out. Obviously, Aller's pass, and ideally Singleton would have caught it, but I'd put it a little bit on both. Singleton was great with the three TDs, could have been four. But the Aller pass there was not good. Look, Aller struggled.
Could have been caught, though.
You're talking about the flat route. Could have been caught.
Should have been caught.
Yeah. I'll say should have been.
Yeah.
I'll say should have been. All right. Speaking of running, and Nicholas Singleton was great last night. Let's give him some props. Three TDs, and he's a really good
player. Wasn't like a great – like it should have been caught without a doubt, but it was not
not a great –
He had to reach down and stuff.
It was a difficult pass, but it's a difficult catch.
He should have caught it. I agree he should have caught it. I'm just clarifying.
Use your hands. Yes, yes. Yeah. All right, speaking of running backs, let's go from the college ranks to the pro ranks and talk about the best. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley, best running back right now in pro football. So, didn't know until yesterday there's something record-wise still in his... Well, I don't know if it's in his sights, meaning I don't know if he's aware of it. I'm now aware of it because a buddy texted me yesterday, and at first I was so confused because my friend said, you know, Terrell Owens' record in 1998.
He meant Terrell Davis, huh?
Uh-huh. So do you know about this, that Terrell Davis holds the record?
Elliot mentioned it when he was on with us on Monday, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I didn't know that. John, do you know that that Terrell Davis holds the record for the most rushing yards regular season and postseason combined? One NFL season rushing record, which is, I never heard, James, if Elliot said it to us earlier this week, it didn't register.
I played against Terrell Davis.
Well, he was a monster.
98, 99.
Correct.
And those Broncos teams, they won the Super Bowl for a reason.
Yeah.
Inside outside zone run attack.
Incredible.
Mike Shanahan's offense was unstoppable. Yeah. And everyone was obsessed with the one step and go zone run attack.
I remember it. So here's the deal. Terrell Davis holds the record. Again, this is regular season and postseason combined. 2,476. Saquon has 2,005. He needs 472 yards to break the record. If he does it over four games, 472, it's 118 per game.
Are we trying to manufacture important things
that he can
achieve to make up for the fact that we didn't go for the record that really matters?
Look, obviously,
like,
no one keeps track of this. I agree, but I'm saying...
This is a fake concept.
But it would be cool if he got it.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, it would be cool.
Especially, nowhere near as cool as the other one.
I agree, but especially...
And it doesn't fix it.
But because he didn't get the chance to, I'd be happy for him, obviously, if he did. Let me put it that way. I would be happy also,
but it's unfortunately not something that people normally tabulate, combining the regular and postseason.
I agree. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, congratulations to Mr. Ike Reese. Ike won our fantasy football league, which means the rest of us all lost. We're all losers. Hail to Ike. I think he's won a couple times now. It's a little annoying.
No, it's the first time he's won.
And
it is?
James. James came in second, right?
Yeah, I lost in the final stack.
Oh.
Gave it a good run.
You don't sound excited. I'd still be excited.
Oh, I don't care. I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. I've won a couple times. No big deal.
James?
Not first, you're last.
You're right about that, Devin.
Yeah, Jimmy right. actually has. How many times have you been second also, Jimmy?
I've been second a couple times, too, because I lost to you in the finals 1 year, too. So, yeah, that's I've had a pretty true. Good track record.
And I've been
yeah.
second also. I've won.
Yeah, I think
won.
I got two firsts
second
and
a
two seconds.
You've
yeah.
gotten first a lot. Joe?
I've never been in the championship game. I'm always knocking on the door, and I never get there. I'm proud of my team, but I just, you know, it's like Penn State. I didn't get to the national championship game, but I made it, made you proud. Well, maybe not.
Who'd you make proud?
My family. let's go to the phones. Yeah. Let's get to Matt in Ridley. Matthew, what's up, buddy?
You smug, arrogant, taking my cousin to the prom know-it-all.
Where have you? Let me tell you something. I didn't just take her to the prom. I took your cousin to the after party. Right?
What?
Wow.
Is this true,
wow.
Matt?
All right.
Joe, is this the story we hadn't heard yet?
Joe, that's all you got are stories, Joe. None of them are true.
Matt, you weren't expecting that. You weren't
Matt's
expecting
cousin.
That comeback.
At 7:45, I'm going to beat your ass. You're going to get another L.
I would love for you to be the contestant. Talk about a layup. My God.
I'm coming for you, Joe.
Please do.
I'm coming hard.
Please do.
Okay?
Yeah.
So... They stole my character. I'll get to that in a minute. But what would you like to talk about today, Joe? Tell me.
I mean, the main thing is the Eagles. Penn State's a juicy topic, but the main thing is the Eagles. I mean, it's a game they should win. I will say, watching Penn State last night, some nerves are now setting in with me on the Eagles, because you can realize when you think you have it and then you don't. When your favorite, or not the Penn State was, but the Eagles are, you know, like it.
He had not thrown a lot of interceptions this year.
Yeah.
He kind of managed games.
Things can happen. And
so
by the way, Penn State ran well and played good
night.
Defense,
yeah.
And that's the Eagles' formula.
They did. I thought the same thing.
I'm just telling you. To be nervous for the Eagles.
So I'm being honest when I say I didn't twist it. I woke up this morning. I didn't think about the Eagles last night going to bed. I'm being honest. Didn't. Woke up this morning, like, here comes the show. And it dawned on me, damn, like, it can end fast.
Oh, my gosh. That's just sports in general. Okay. And by the way, our team is better than their team. And the way our team is preparing
Penn State
for this
was
game.
Probably better than Notre Dame.
I don't think so. And the way our team was preparing for this game this week, going out there with pads on, hitting each other, they were going late. They were going long out at practice with pads on. And they went to the stadium. Think about
what is
they
that?
Went
is
outside.
That give them
I love
seven
that.
Points, extra 7 points. They went to the stadium.
I'll take that. I think they will be better prepared. I think they are the tough-minded team. I know that, you know, the weather's not going to be too inclement, but the fact that Nick Sirianni took our team outside to practice when it was 20.
Right.
We were outside hitting when it was 20
but
this week.
Let's remember.
In a long practice that stretched so far that they were late getting back to their facility.
Right.
That is exactly what I want.
Look,
getting ready for the postseason.
I like it too, but let's not act like Green Bay doesn't come from a cold environment too.
All
they,
right,
they
but
can
that
practice.
Doesn't mean that they want to play in the cold, and that doesn't mean that they're healthy like we are.
Well, that's the
or
big
ready
one. Yeah.
Like we
hey,
are.
Hey, Matt, give me an answer here, man. Best side character in a TV show.
Well, hold on. I had an Eagles come up, but, man, you guys took up a lot of my airtime here.
Well, you said what do I want to talk about. Frankly, I want to talk more about what I want to talk about than you. But
No, I just have one point. I mean, I agree with John. I have one point, though. I don't think Love will be able to throw the ball against our defense. I think our line will get to him, and our secondary will confuse him, and I see at least two picks.
Okay, so that would be a beautiful thing. Look, he's a good player when healthy. If he's not healthy, that changes the whole game. Matt, great side character in a TV show.
I don't think they're gonna. I think our D line will put too much pressure on him, and he'll get happy feet. He'll throw a couple picks. And
we'll see. Who do you got from TV, man?
He took our Carney from me, which is fine. I think that was a haymaker and a Mount Rushmore. But I'm gonna go with Kramer.
Yeah, it's a similar, and I think in many ways
great
based
answer.
On it. Kramer, I think, was based on Norton from the Honeymooners. All right, 215-592-9494.
Well, you said that first answer was the greatest answer ever.
Yeah.
Don't you think Kramer's a great answer then if it's
Yeah,
comparable?
It's a great answer, but Jordan better than Kobe. Same theory.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
But Kobe's amazing.
I mean, agree. And
so is Kramer. An amazing answer.
But Jordan is Norton, and Norton is Jordan. That's
so
awesome.
You're saying that you would not vote for Kramer?
I mean, I might listen. No, I would vote for Norton, but I know this: you guys aren't going to let him win.
It's a wasted vote.
It
is.
I'm well aware. Yeah. I believe me.
So right now is
you
Kramer
want your vote
your
to matter?
Runner?
You know,
No, I'm still voting for Norton. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, more on Penn State from last night. Dick Vermeil at 8 o'clock. Eagles tickets, 8 o'clock. Eagles Packers. We give away a pair of tickets, so be tuned at 8 o'clock for your chance to win Eagles tickets. By the way, spread the word to your family and friends in the next 50 minutes. Maximize the chance for your family or friends to win a pair of tickets. Let them know. 8 o'clock today, we give away those tickets. Prior to that, 7:45, Beat the Hammer. Prior to that, Elliott Shore Parks at 7:30. On the A.J. Brown situation, that and more. Plus, we don't even know who the number two QB is yet. So we'll get to all that with Elliot. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
And, of course, we're giving those tickets away courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Now, if you have a date set for a knee, hip, or shoulder replacement, the team at NovaCare Rehabilitation is here for you. Did you know attending physical therapy before your replacement surgery can significantly help your recovery and movement post-surgery? Then once you've got your new replacement, you already know and trust NovaCare's physical therapists to help you fully heal because they are experts in balance, gait training, and pain management. Your joint replacement needs are unique. NovaCare's team will develop an individualized treatment plan that'll get you feeling strong and back to the things you love because this is not a decision you came to lightly. So rely on the physical therapy provider you know and you trust. Choose NovaCare to get you back to work, sports, and life. To learn more about the benefits of physical therapy before and after your joint replacement surgery, or to schedule an appointment at one of their 150 convenient locations, go to NovaCare.com. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PDQ POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. We've seen their operation. We've done our show over there at their headquarters. And the people, the technology, it's all so impressive. If you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, the game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leader for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything. Mobile POS, self-service kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
Brought to you by Verizon, Drew Aller's late interception helping Notre Dame advance to the national championship game. Irish kicking the game winner with seconds left in their 27-24 win over Penn State. Jalen Hurts, full participant in practice as the Eagles get set to face the Packers Sunday in the wild card round. Jordan Love, the same for Green Bay. A.J. Brown, though, he did not practice. It was a rest/knee designation. Are you ready to step up your Super Bowl plans this year? Verizon Super Bowl Fan Fest coming to Lincoln Financial Field. February 9th, catch the game, exclusive stadium access, live music, food, and more. Visit your Verizon store, find out about free limited tickets, must be 18 years or older, or accompanied by parent or legal guardian. Terms apply, see VerizonFanFest.com for details. Weather brought to you by Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon, mostly cloudy, high 38, currently 24. Enjoy Happy Dad hard seltzers at Klondike Kate's, nestled in the heart of Main Street on the University of Delaware campus. Visit KlondikeKates.com today. Listen to every Eagles game on your streaming device. Just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Well, we love our football team, and they got a lot of power, and hopefully it'll be enough to carry them through not just this game against Green Bay, but the next month and a parade, which really is possible. Again, Eagles have the fifth-best odds to capture the trophy, but, you know, there's some other really good teams. Green Bay is not one of the truly great ones, but they're very good, and they certainly pose a challenge. A.J. Brown's injury doesn't help. Now, Elliott, you know, reported yesterday he's going to play, but definitely is not 100%. So A.J. Brown, who had left practice early on Wednesday, then did not practice yesterday. We'll talk to Elliott about that coming up in about 10 minutes. 215-592-9494. If you want to comment on Penn State Notre Dame last night, please do. It was a fascinating game. A bummer from a Penn State standpoint. Look, congrats to Notre Dame. It's been a long time since they've been in a title game. So they get to play in it, obviously, coming up soon. But
that coach is so impressive.
He's very impressive.
Man.
Dude, if I'm the Raiders, if I'm the Jets, if I'm one of these like garbage organizations, I'm looking at that guy.
But I cannot imagine him getting up and going at this point in time. The level of connection and commitment to those kids, he's the type of guy, sure. Doesn't it just feel like you would say, hey, you know what? I told my guys I was going to stay here and see this through. I actually believe him when he says I'm going to stick to that. But
how about Vermeil?
I know everyone says, hey, money talks.
Vermeil, UCLA.
I know.
Players loved him.
Money
talks. Mid-70s.
Money talks.
Went to the Eagles. I mean, came across the whole country. Coming to Philadelphia Eagles. You know, mid-70s. We'll talk to Dick Vermeil coming up at 8 o'clock. Elliott soon. 8 o'clock today also. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. Eagles and the Packers were giving away a pair of tickets coming up in 40 minutes. You got to hear a name in order to win the ticket. So be tuned and spread the word to your family and friends to get someone there that you love or, you know, do like I do. I won't tell anybody. I'd keep them for myself. No, 8 o'clock today, your chance to win Eagles-Packers tickets.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, let's rock the phone calls here. Rick in Easton right now. Rick, good morning.
That song after the break is part of my good answer, but we'll get to that later.
Ooh.
So although you can think about it. Although I agree
Elizabeth
with Rhea, some of the decisions Franklin made were uncharacteristic of him. He's the reason why I decided not to renew my ticket 7-8 years ago when they gave me a 10-year extension. He just doesn't. That coaching staff, I told all my friends, is going to be the reasons why they lost. That offensive line and that defensive line was wearing Notre Dame down, and how they didn't figure a way to not give Notre Dame that turnover. Notre Dame always has that fumble in big games.
Well, Notre Dame turns it over twice.
Yeah.
But I understand that. But when you get 45 seconds left and that game's tied, you've got to take your chances in overtime. You cannot do what they did.
Oh, you wanted them conservative at that point.
I thought it was the right call. It clearly didn't work.
Point,
yeah, but Rick, you had two timeouts.
At that point,
I think they had one. Didn't they have two?
I thought it was two timeouts and 40.
Not what that
seven,
quarterback.
Seven? Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, Rick, I mean, obviously what you're saying proved,
jeez,
you know, it didn't work. But I thought it was worth, you know, you get
a harsh assessment. You got to go about. You don't want him throwing in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. It was just a really unfortunate play.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, Rick, he had only had nine.
Decision. Late decision.
Rick, only nine interceptions in his whole career. I mean.
No, I get it. Well, listen, look what happened.
I know.
It's bad. All right, the Birds defense has to show up big in the first quarter until Jalen gets his legs under him and figures out, because I'm concerned about what happens to him when he sits for 3 or 4 weeks. And I think the Birds defense can they need to shut down Green Bay and make that field short for this offense in the first two quarters, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, here's my answer. Great actor. That song you played was one of the Back to the Futures. This guy was a genius. He made you laugh. He was like a Kramer. I think Kramer came off this guy. He made you laugh so hard he cried. By the way, Norton has to win, because I think Norton was sometimes better than Cleese.
That's four people that have said Norton, by the way, so far. I just want to say that.
Christopher Lloyd as Ignatowski at Taxi was an absolute riot.
You know, it's a good answer,
he
man.
He was very funny.
I was wondering how he was bringing Back to the Future and Power of Love and all of that. It was good work.
I was actually confused about that as well, but that is a good answer. All right, let's get to Ken right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, Ken.
I might be the only guy in the Delaware Valley who was absolutely thrilled by that outcome last night. I am a true blue Penn State hater, which is probably the wrong color to choose. But
so, well, look, there's not many haters, but there are a lot of Notre Dame supporters. And look, it was a monumental clash. I'll say this, independent of the outcome of the game, I was happy to see both programs there, and I hope it is a harbinger of things to come, that both programs can really get back on track for decades, you know, years to come, because it's good for college football, and it's good for our area.
I mean, they're the two most liked. I mean, Notre Dame has a lot more fans in this area than Temple football.
Oh,
I mean,
God, yeah.
Let's be real. It's true.
Yes, there's no question.
Yeah, more than zero. No, I'm just
more than me
I'm
and
kidding.
James.
I'm kidding, yeah.
All right, Ken, what do you got on the Eagles game, man? Big game on Sunday.
There's more people at Cinemas and high school games on Friday night than there are at Temple games. Listen, it's funny you brought up that combined record of regular season and postseason, because I mentioned that on a show last week. To me, that's the best record for
it's
a running
not.
Back to have.
It's not.
Well, to me, it's the best record for a running back to have because it's reflective of a deep postseason run, which is reflective of success for the team. So I think if you asked Eric Dickerson which record he'd probably have, that would mean Eric Dickerson had a Super Bowl ring that he currently has to go ask somebody to show him.
Yeah, so, well, I get
you
it.
Know, I think it's a better record. In the grand scheme of things,
that's like you and you alone, I think.
Look, I know what you're saying, Ken, but society just doesn't view it.
It might not be viewed as a better record, but I mean, I would rather have the record where I win the Super Bowl than the record without the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I get it. There's an argument there.
If we get to the end of the season and Saquon Barkley has that record, nobody's going to be talking about the fact that they didn't let him play in Week 18.
No, I think that'll always be a topic. I think that'll be a topic whether the Eagles win or lose the Super Bowl. I think that'll always be a topic.
I think at some point we have to get over it. And I just want to point out again, you've got seven teams that are in the playoffs this year that weren't in the playoffs last year. You have between the combination of teams that made the playoffs this year that didn't make it last year, and the teams that did make the playoffs last year that didn't make it this year. And once again, here is Nick Sirianni in the playoffs with the Philadelphia Eagles. We get so used to having a head coach around here that just makes the playoffs every year like it's part of his natural bodily function that we take for granted that this guy is a special.
So I know what John's probably got in his brain. He's going to say, but it's 7 out of 8. That Howie Roseman's in the playoffs. So look, I hear you, Ken. I'm a Sirianni guy, but I do think it starts even higher. And I'm not saying that's a ripneck. I'm a Sirianni guy, but Lurie and Howie. I mean, for those two, they're two of the few guys. Those two, Stoutland, a couple others that have been around the last 8 years. It's really a massive feather in the caps of those guys. 7 out of 8 years in the postseason.
Well,
that's hard, man.
It's one of the best organizations in the league, and
in sports,
you know, if you look around the postseason, there's no crappy rosters in the playoffs this year. So, you know, it's kind of a weak argument to say, well, he's got a good roster. They all have good rosters. That's part, you know, you can't win without good players in the NFL.
Yeah, he's got a great one, though. All right, Ken, give me an answer here, man. A wonderful character in a supporting role in a TV show.
I think he's the best TV character in the history of television, Frank Costanza.
Yeah, that's a big one right there, man. Yeah, that has a winning. I thought he was saying George. Well,
now you just took George off the
board.
Sorry. So George, for what it's worth, George was my winner. Like if someone said George, it was
George
over.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
So there you go.
I'm waiting for George.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was my winner. So
I'm sorry.
It's, can't win.
That was the win.
I screwed up. James, did I screw up as much as Penn State's quarterback, Allen?
No. And also, no. Ken screwed up by going with Frank instead of George, too. So,
yeah.
Why
would
you
go Frank? Was that
Frank's great, but
Frank
George is better.
George. I don't think so. All right. Look, let's just play the audio for a moment. For those that missed the game last night, it was bonkers. And I hate to break a game that was so exceptional down into two plays, but to be clear, these two plays basically decided the game. So Penn State's got the ball. It's a tie game. There's about 40 seconds left. Let's listen to the critical interception.
Aller hit as he throws, and it is intercepted! Christian Gray picks it off!
It's an interception. First down.
They got aggressive, and it has blown up on them as they turn it over. For the first time tonight, Snead came on a blitz.
And it was a huge mistake by Drew Aller. Wants to work left, works all the way back, and you can never throw lane over the middle. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You want to make a play for your team, but you cannot throw it blind from that far away.
I know that's a dagger in the heart of people that love Penn State. I get it, guys. I'm not trying to stick that dagger in you. I'm really not.
And like two plays before, just a couple plays before, the color guy, Greg, said, oh, he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. I was like, oh, kiss of death.
I actually thought it was an exceptionally well-broadcast game by those two. Yeah. I thought those two were – I thought McElroy actually sounds like Herb Street. Like, sometimes I'm like, is this Herb Street? No, it's Greg McElroy. But I thought it was a great broadcast, a great game, but a brutal outcome from a Penn State standpoint. Look, they had a shot at the end if Notre Dame's kicker would miss the kick. He did not. Let's hear that moment.
To give Notre Dame the lead in the final seconds. 41-yard attempt. Snap and hold are good. The kick is good!
It was an all-time game. It was, but it was a real heartbreaker from a Penn State standpoint. All right, you can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Let's talk some pro football with our next guest, Elliot, of course. Elliot Shore Parks does a sensational job covering the Eagles, and he joins us every Friday at this time. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Well, excitement. Nerves are up for me after seeing Penn State lose last night. The nerves this morning kicked in for me a bit on the Eagles. Now, I think the Eagles will win. But, like, Green Bay's good. They're a good football team. So, Elliot, let's get to this. The situation is more complicated now because of the A.J. Brown injury. Can you just walk the audience through what has gone on this week? What do you know about the A.J. Brown? What do we need to know about A.J. Brown?
So I'll preface all this by saying I am very confident A.J. Brown is going to play on Sunday. So I wouldn't be worried he's not going to be in uniform. But it's definitely been a weird week or unexpected week with his practice participation. So on Wednesday, we all go out to practice, the media, and all eyes are obviously on Jalen Hurts, you know, first practice. A.J. Brown leaves the field, I would say, less than 10 minutes into practice. And in all my years covering practice, that's very rare to see a player leave that early into practice. So he leaves practice early on Wednesday. Thursday, he's not out there at all. So not out there at practice yesterday at the link. Now, my understanding is this is all part of a plan. Wednesday, Thursday, the way they're, you know, using him this week is part of a plan to get him ready and prepared so he can play on Sunday. And I do think he will play on Sunday. But it is definitely worrisome to me that he was at practice on Wednesday and left so early into practice and then wasn't out there Thursday. So I do think A.J. Brown will probably be less than 100% for the game.
So just to be clear, Elliot, when you say part of the plan, are you guessing or reporting part of the plan for him to play, to practice for only 10 minutes? Because I would think that was a deviation. It's hard to imagine they would crank him up for a practice 10 minutes or less and then pull him out. That does not seem planned. Agree?
So I agree with your assessment of that. I do. Like, it seems odd to me, but my understanding is that was part of the plan. But I agree that you're correct to have your antennas up. Yeah.
Do you think that it's possible that this is an emotional response in some way, that this was a flare-up between AJ and another player and not physical? You know what I mean?
No.
Was this dust up at some point?
What are you talking about?
Where is this coming? This is like out of nothing.
I don't know why he would leave.
He has an injury. His knee hurt.
Let's not start that again.
There'd be two reasons he would leave. And look, I certainly respect, you know, thinking of all possibilities here, but I don't think that is it. The reasons he would leave practice early would be A, he tried to practice and couldn't, right? He got out there and he couldn't do it. B, he did something in that limited time he was out there where he didn't like how it felt and he left.
And that's what I think is most likely.
Yeah. And just to be so everyone's clear, he is listed on the injury report for yesterday. Did not practice knee/rest. So everyone knows, like, it's like they are indicating the knee is there is a knee issue.
But
while
the,
he was listed as limited on Wednesday, he took part in like 6 or 7 minutes of practice. So like he essentially has not practiced this week and has not taken any reps yet with Jalen Hurts, which is noteworthy because Jalen obviously hasn't practiced for 2 weeks. So they haven't taken practice reps together since prior to the Washington game.
And how much does that concern you? We've been talking so much about Jalen being rusty. He hasn't been, you know, signaling out to AJ in practice, okay, here's a go route, let's get that timing back down. That really is important for those two to be able to get out there together. How much is that bothering you? How much do you think the team needs to get them together?
So the good news is, obviously, AJ and Jalen have played together for a long time. So, you know, like, obviously there's plays in the plan, like the game plan this week, that you would like them to go through. And so definitely it's not ideal he's not getting those reps, but they do have good chemistry. And the last time we saw them in that Pittsburgh game, they were outstanding together. My concern is not that AJ won't play. My concern is, you know, how effective will he be, and how, you know, does he try to go and then he can't? Like, I think AJ, not having AJ less than 100% combined with a potentially rusty Jalen, and then you add in that the Packers are fourth in the league in first quarter points this year, my concern would be a slow start, the Packers get a lead, and things really tense up at the wing. Like, that would be my concern with all this.
Elliot, what about Hurts? What's going on? 2 days to game day. What's going on?
Yeah. So he was a full participant in practice yesterday after being limited on Wednesday. So that's a step in the right direction. And good news that he was out there. So obviously he practiced for the first time and was able to practice the second day in a row. So that's a positive step. My expectation is that he will play on Sunday. I would expect he's cleared protocol today. I can't say for sure. But I like, in terms of fans, I would feel very confident that he will be out there on Sunday.
And N'Kobe Dean with the abdomen, there was a lot of, you know, concern heading into this. Is he just out there rolling, no worries from you?
Yeah, he'll play on Sunday. And it's a big deal because, you know, as much as we talk about the loss of Christian Watson and, you know, some of the things the Packers can do, their running game is huge. Like, they have a good running game. Vic Fangio talked this week about everything they do off of the passing game comes from the running game. So,
totally.
N'Kobe, obviously huge against the run, especially specifically with Josh Jacobs. So, him being out there is a big deal, and he will be out there.
Elliot, and Dallas Goedert playing in the game after not being able to play for so long, is everything positive from him? Like, he could be suffering soreness, that sort of thing. Is everything good from as far as you can tell?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, everything seems good with Dallas Goedert. Obviously, he got those snaps against the Giants, which was, you know, I think good for him. I guess get some action before the playoffs. But all my indications I have are that he's good to go.
All right, Elliot, no one wants to see Kenny Pickett or Tanner McKee in this game. Hopefully Hurts is healthy the whole way through. We know in 2019 the Eagles got in a hell of a problem. Carson got hurt early. McCown got hurt. Like, sometimes you got to go backup QB. Who's going to be the backup quarterback? I mean, is it dependent on Kenny Pickett's ribs, or what do you know? Because Sirianni won't tell us on Tuesday, and I wondered at that time if he even knew, because it might be based on how Pickett responds rib-wise. What's going on there?
So I believe it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Normally in practice, these players just straight up line up in the depth chart order. So this week at quarterback, in the two practices I've seen, it's been Jalen, Kenny, Tanner McKee. So it seems pretty clear to me that it is going to be Kenny. Again, with the rib thing, I guess you never know. Between now and then, he wakes up sore, something happens, but it seems like it'll be Kenny Pickett, and then Tanner McKee will be the emergency quarterback.
Hey, I want to remind everyone right now that coming up in 20 minutes, your chance to win tickets to this coveted game to have tickets for the Eagles.
Pretty big ticket today. Yeah.
Pretty big tickets. We're giving away Eagles-Packers tickets coming up in 20 minutes at 8 o'clock. You got to know the name that is said of a current or former Eagles player, coach, or staff member, and then with that name, you can win the tickets. When we give you the cue to call the contest line at that time for the Eagles and Packers, that's coming up in 20 minutes.
Of course, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Now, let me tell you right now, you can call the contest line right now to compete and beat the hammer, which will happen in 5 minutes. We'll take caller number 5 on the contest line for Beat the Hammer. Caller 5, 215-988-1258. Caller 5, you'll compete and beat the hammer. Try to keep the audience's win streak going because they beat me at the end of 2024. Start at 2025, first beat the hammer. Be the fifth caller contest line. You can compete and beat the hammer. All right, Elliot, let's get to the kicker, Jake Elliott. We love him, but he has struggled. I mean, he really has. Do you believe Sirianni goes into this game saying to himself, there are moments when I normally would kick a field goal, but I will choose not to, given certain circumstances, because I need to coach around my kicker's deficiencies right now?
Mm-hmm. So I do think it's something Sirianni will think about, but ultimately I think he has such a long track record of going for it in these instances. And I know this is not apples to apples, but when Kenny Pickett came in against Washington on that first 3rd and 7, like, he threw the ball right away. Tanner McKee comes in against Dallas. He throws the ball right away. I think, and especially we talk so much about how often he goes from a fourth down, I think Nick has such a long track record of just trusting his players will get the job done, that with Jake Elliott, yes, I think there are some very, like, specific instances where maybe he leans towards going for it instead of having Jake Elliott kick it. But for the most part, I think you're going to see him handle Jake Elliott pretty normal. And honestly, like, I think that's the right decision. I think Jake Elliott has long enough track record of making big kicks. For what it's worth, the only like big kick he took recently was against Washington late in that game. He did make it. So I don't think you can go into this game scared to put Jake Elliott out there.
I disagree. I'll say this, Elliott. I disagree with you. Let me just frame my argument. Here's where I'm at. Obviously, there are moments you got to trust that you have no choice but to go with the kicker. I mean, okay. But I'm talking about like two extra yards. Instead of it being fourth and four, it might be fourth and six. And instead of it being a 44-yard field goal, it might be a 47-yard field goal. I'm telling you, if I'm Sirianni, I am not coaching with him the way I would have 2 months ago because I don't trust him as much. I'm just telling you flat out.
How much of this has to do with the new kicking, the new rules with kickoffs? Is this happening elsewhere around the league where kickers who now have a lot more on their plate, you know, some guys are doing well with it, some guys are struggling a little bit. What's the root of Jake Elliott dropping off this season, Elliott?
So what's interesting is he's not doing kickoffs, right? So he's not, like, kicking the ball off this year much. Like, he has in a few games. And I think that could be an indication, like, they're trying to rest his leg to have Brandon Mann do the majority of kickoffs this year.
Yeah, has that worked against him confidence-wise?
That's an interesting theory. I mean, I could see that maybe. I think that sometimes kickers just go through, you know, you see it all the time. Like, a kicker will have four great years and one off year. Yep. And so the worry thing is sometimes these guys never bounce back, right? Like when you lose a kicker, sometimes it just goes. But I mean, kicking is down around the league. It feels like Justin Tucker's having a really bad year.
So true.
I don't know.
That's the thing. Justin Tucker, when he's having a bad year, it makes me think, what else is going on?
Yeah, but he might be for being old. So you know,
True.
All right, Elliott, I need an answer. Elliott, I need an answer to our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's their people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit Armin Chevrolet. Elliott, here's the question. Who wins Sunday?
I think the Eagles win the game 24-21 on a Jake Elliott game.
You're a troublemaker.
Oh, man. All right, Elliott, this better not be the last time we talk to you during the Eagles season, buddy.
I don't think it will be.
All right, Elliott, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, pal. Nice work. All right, you got it, man. And he said good luck and Pete the Hammer, as if I need good luck. Come on. What do I need good luck for?
I didn't hear him say good luck.
He was starting to say
you hung up on him.
He was good. And I know where he's going. But I say thank you, sir. All right, Pete the Hammer shortly.
Maybe he was going to say good luck to the contestant in Beat the Hammer.
Well,
no, he always roots for
that. We know Elliott is a Hammer fan.
Yeah, yes, he should be. Mike is with us. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Football Friday.
Yep.
Playoff Super Bowl run Friday.
You getting a little nervous, Mike?
You sound a little breathy there,
not
Mike.
John, I'm just leaving the gym. I've been away from the gym for almost 5 months with a couple surgeries, 4 minutes. Got my rotator cuff twice. So I'm just finally getting back.
Jeez.
And so I'm a little winded. Sorry.
Well, that's good. It sounded like you really did put some work in.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm trying to regain those old fullback days. Maybe
that's brutal, man. Did you rotator cuff and labrum? You said
rotator cuff, labrum, bicep tendon, and then I tore my meniscus.
Yeah. Let me just say this, Mike. Whatever you were doing before, do something different with your approach. Okay, four injuries tells me your technique ain't right. I'm serious. I'm actually dead serious. You can't have four
injuries. Shoulders get broken up.
Yeah,
sometimes.
But four different things. Come on. All right, Mike. We got to get to Pete the Hammer. Give me an Eagles point quickly here.
Okay, real quick. I'm not nervous. I'm just now getting dialed in, focused in. We just got a job to do. Listen, as long as we just stick to what we do, we're fine. End of story. I'm not nervous. The overconfidence has been dialed back. We're going to just win as long as we take care of business.
Okay. All right. I tend to think that is correct. Mike, give me an answer here for a great in the 26th anniversary of The Sopranos, and they had wonderful characters other than Tony Soprano. The best supporting character ever in a TV show is who?
Real quick, this is for Devin because he hasn't heard this in a while. Hey, dorks! The Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, and it starts this Sunday. E-A- D-L-E-S!
Eagles! Well done, Mike. Spreading,
thank you, Mike.
Spreading the word amongst Giants fans where he lives. All right,
he's in the gym yelling, "Hey, dorks!" Wow.
All right, Mike, give me a character.
Good work,
Susie Green from Curb.
Great,
it's a good
answer
right there. Yeah, Susie Green's another classic. I'm going to miss her. You know, no more Curb, but she was great. All right, not as great though as the Hammer, who comes in to beat the Hammer. With 269 wins, a mere 43 losses. With that said, let's play a little game we call, or a big game we call, Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, our contestant today is playing for, and this is very apropos, he is playing for a Philadelphia Eagles t-shirt and hat combination, which obviously you can sport proudly if the Birds go on the ultimate run and have a parade in the next month. All right, Eagles-Packers obviously on Sunday. Our contestant right now, his name is Tom. And Beat the Hammer is presented by First Trust Bank. They encourage Tom and everyone to challenge your bank. And if they're not doing the job for you, get yourself to First Trust Bank. Tom in, I don't even know how to say, what's the name of your town?
Cochranville.
Cochranville.
That's
Cochranville.
That's dicey, man.
You've never heard of Cochranville?
A little bit.
He just doesn't want to say it.
Yeah, I'm being careful.
I get it, but it's a real place around here. Don't worry.
It's in Chester County. It's right by Longwood Gardens. You know where it's at. It's about 15 minutes from Longwood Gardens.
Just thinking of all the people 50
you're,
and over.
Just rein it in.
Just imagine,
like
being named, Richard in that town.
Like being a pro.
Where are you from, Richard? Oh, let me tell you. All right, Tom.
Oh, my God.
Tom, which are you more confident in? The Hammer and Beat the Hammer, or the Eagles versus the Packers? Be honest.
That Tom's going to beat the Hammer.
Well, 100%. That's nonsense. I mean, everybody listening knows that. I mean, it's possible. It's like the Packers. It could happen.
I told you when I met you at the Phillies game against the Angels last year, this is going to happen. And this is the day. It's happening today.
Whoa, wow.
I like that.
You've manifested.
Oh, I like this.
All right.
Way to go there.
Newark, then. I moved. I was Tom from Newark.
He's confident.
Oh, all right. Nice job.
Tom, this is good stuff, buddy. I am going to go way down the hallway where I can't hear anything. I will wish you good luck. It's a big one, Tom. It's a playoff edition. Good luck to you, pal.
All right. Take that, Alan.
Scram. Get out of here.
Joe did lose miserably.
Hey, reminder, tickets coming up in 12 minutes. Eagles-Packers.
Yeah, if you leave so we could do that. Yeah, get out of here.
Get out. Joe did lose miserably.
He did.
Prior to the break.
What was the final score of that
one?
I believe it was 3-2, I believe.
3-2. Okay, so it was close. It wasn't
a
shutout.
Yeah, it was close. It was close.
Do you notice how short his jeans are? Right
now,
as we're watching him walk away,
they all are.
His jeans are 2 inches too short.
This is the first time you've noticed that?
Yes.
They're always floods.
Really?
Yeah.
Floods, that's
does he not realize?
Yeah, Amy's got to take him shopping.
Holy cow.
Big time.
That's
style.
Really, that's noticeable.
Yeah. All right.
It's like Pee Wee Herman-esque.
Yes, he's all right. Let's roll here. We got some tickets to give away. We got Dick Vermeil coming up at 8. Tom, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. John Ritchie has the clock ready. You have 55 seconds. It will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked appropriately this week. Our category, little Eagles-Packers trivia today. Tom, you ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Here we go. Question number one. In 2004, two Eagles players scored a touchdown in the 4th and 26th game against the Packers. Name one of them.
Freddie Mitchell.
What Eagles player had two sacks in Brazil versus the Packers?
Zach Bowen.
Two Eagles players scored a touchdown in the 1960 championship game win over the Packers. Name one of them.
Tommy McDonald.
What cornerback did the Eagles trade to Green Bay in 2003 where he would go on to make an all-pro team?
Oh, my gosh, I know this. Oh, my God. Oh, what's this? Oh, Pat.
In January of 1998, Reggie White was one of two Eagles Hall of Famers to start on defense for the Packers in Super Bowl 32. The other was a linebacker. Name him.
Not Joyner.
What Eagles cornerback did the Eagles trade to Green Bay in 2003 where we'd go on to make an all-pro team?
Oh my gosh, I know this. This is crazy. Oh my God.
Time.
All right. All right. We got a three. We got a three spot. Tom?
Hey.
Not too bad, buddy. We're going to put you on hold. Jeez. Not bad. All right. We're in this one today. Here we go.
That hurts, though.
Yeah, it's tough. I thought that was the easiest question, Brunsworth.
I know, me too. Joe is that a slow walk? It feels like he's gloating.
He's not running
almost.
This time.
Why is he? He's walking more slowly
it's
than
ever. It's not like
ever
we have anything
before.
Going on today. It's not like we, you know, doing a live
Joe,
radio show.
Urgency, please. All right. It's way out of hand now. I like
dude,
shirt,
what is
though.
Taking so long? Like, what, we're
he
doing
really
a radio
is.
Show.
He's lounging.
Does he know his
way
we have tickets to give away? We got Dick Vermeil coming up.
What do you think
up?
This is, everybody DeCamera? Relax.
Like, hurry up, pal. No, show did, a little giddy up.
I did my Lee Arthur Smith walk in from the bullpen. I move at my pace. Right? Thanks for the shirt, Colin. I like this Saquon Tecmo Bowl shirt. Isn't that cool?
It is very cool.
Yeah, really
your,
cool.
Your jeans are 2 inches too short.
Well, my legs are 2 inches too short then.
It's the other way.
Need some extra inches this, there, huh?
Real quick, hold on. I got to pull this out of my wallet. Shout out to a guy named, let me find it, Ryan, who sent me the Saquon Tecmo Bowl shirt. Very, very cool stuff. So thank you, Ryan. Haven't gotten a chance to reach out to him personally, but thank you. It's a cool shirt. All right. What do we got here? How'd this Tom and Cockerville guy do?
You ready to roll here?
Ben.
Category.
I am nervous today because I don't like losing two in a row. And it's only happened, I think, two times ever, maybe three tops. And I lost at the end of 2024.
You got to set the tone for the year.
Yeah, I don't.
No pressure.
I don't like this. And I don't like that the guy called in earlier and said, I've got to win in order for the Eagles to win or whatever.
Well, yeah, I don't like that either. Not a fan. I don't think that's
well,
true.
Well, you should.
I disagree with that.
Just can't
this has nothing
any
to do with the Eagles. That is
all,
my official statement. This has nothing to do with the Eagles.
Okay.
It Ray really roll. Doesn't.
Yeah.
All right. Category for the week, appropriately, Eagles-Packers trivia. Here we go.
Freddie Mitchell.
Category will start now. You ready to roll here?
Yes.
Right,
by the way, Tommy McDonald will be an answer. Go ahead.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Question number one. In 2004, two Eagles players scored a touchdown in the 4th and 26th game against the Packers. Name one of them.
I'll come back to it.
What Eagles player had 2 sacks in Brazil versus the Packers?
2 sacks in Brazil versus the Packers. I'm going to go with Zach Bond.
Two Eagles players scored a touchdown in the 1960 championship game win over the Packers. Name one of them.
Tommy McDonald.
What cornerback did the Eagles trade to Green Bay in 2003 where we would go on to make an all-pro team?
You said cornerback?
Cornerback.
Al Harris.
In January of 1998, Reggie White was one of two Eagles Hall of Famers to start on defense for the Packers in Super Bowl 32. The other was a linebacker. Name him.
January of 98?
Correct.
That would be, so okay, the 97 season, that would be Seth Joyner. So I need a touchdown from which game, 04?
4th and 26.
Okay, so the 03 season.
Two Eagles players scored a touchdown in that game, name one.
All right, so it can't be T.O., he's not there, it can't be B. West. I will go with Chad Lewis. Damn. What do we got here?
A 4-3 win.
Wow. All right.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that's
he
a good...
The caller couldn't remember Al Harris.
I was like, I wanted to tell
that's
him so bad.
That makes him a loser. Tom, you're a Packer, you loser. You freaking tool.
Harris. Oh, my God, Al Harris.
All you had to say was Al Harris. He'd be in overtime. He'd lose in overtime, but, you know.
I could see his face.
Tom, what's it like being a tool?
Yeah. It's because says the hammer.
Better than being a hammer, I know that.
Not when you're a winner. Winner yeah. Right here. Thumbs pointed to good me. Job. Winner.
I'll take the L.
No. You don't take the L. I gave you the L. Hammer! By the way, Tom, 270. You know I love those, you know, denominations of 10 and the such. And 270. 270.
Means very little to anyone.
What do you like,
else?
The Electoral College, Joe?
That's 272, isn't it? Or is it 270?
271.
I think it's 270. You have to get 271 to win, but I think 270 is that number that they track.
Tom, what did I say I'm going to do when I win the presidency? What did I say I'm going to do when I win that vote? I'm going to ask for a recount to win it again! I'll take a bath.
I would like to revise my earlier statement. This absolutely does predict what will happen with the Eagles today. I just want to clarify.
All right,
that.
Tom, you are obviously a worthy contestant. And because you are a worthy contestant, we are going to award you the Eagles T-shirt and hat. I encourage you to wear it proudly through the playoffs and hopefully all the way to the big game.
Hey, Tom, nice job, man. Play again.
Well, nice job. You lost, you freaking tool.
We don't get three from a contestant that often, sadly, all right?
Tom, say you were a loser.
Al Harris made me a loser.
All right, that's very good.
Hey, Tom, yep. Nice job, buddy. Good stuff, yeah, man. We'll put you on hold to get your information. All right, Tommy, 270 for the Hammer. And I want to remind you, running a business obviously can be challenging, but banking shouldn't be, doesn't have to be. When you see red flags with your bank, challenge them. Challenge them better than that guy did with me, by the way. Challenge your bank to do better, and if they don't, then get yourself to First Trust Bank. First Trust Bank, the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles, and even more importantly, of Beat the Hammer. And with that, victory 270, and a very impressive performance. We shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What a haughty line at the end there, huh? The official bank of the Eagles, but more importantly, Beat the Hammer. Okay.
All right, James, who had touchdowns in that game?
It was Deuce Daly and Todd Pinkston were the two Eagles who scored in that game.
Oh, wow. Eagles. And, John, you were in that game.
Yes.
Do you remember it?
Yes.
And
it
that was
cold.
Yeah, well, it was cold. And you guys were down 14-0. I remember Dawk got turned around a touchdown that made it 14-0. He kind of got a little lost in center field. And it was pretty early. And you guys were in a hell of a hole. That was a big comeback, man. That was an amazing, gritty performance to come back from 14-0 down and win that game, man. That was something.
You know, I have always said 17 is the magic number. For all the years that I've played and watched games as an offensive player from the sideline, when our defense is on the field and I'm looking up at the scoreboard, if we're down within 17, for some reason, I know that's, like, reachable.
Got a shot.
That 17 island is still, it's so quick. You can make that up in a jiffy with a quick change of, you know, change of possession, that sort of thing. As soon as it gets past that point, that's when I start to worry.
Well, I will tell you, as a Penn State fan, not a hardcore Penn State fan, but a casual Penn State fan, up 10-0 last night. I thought they were in pretty good
shape.
Felt
really good.
It really did.
A 10-point. That's below the 17-point threshold. Yeah. You know it can disappear in an instant, which it absolutely did.
All right, Dick Vermeil in just a couple minutes. Prior to that, your chance to win Eagles-Packers tickets. Be tuned for a lot over the next literally 5 minutes. All of that coming up. Ed in Phoenixville right now as we broadcast from Borgata. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Hammer. You know what? My lasting impression of Al Harris is Matt Hasselbeck at that coin toss saying, we're going to take the ball and we're going to score.
Yeah. You know, he was a good Eagle, man. I'll tell you what. He was a good Eagle. He was a very good Eagle. And he was, frankly, one of the best backups I've ever seen in Philadelphia sports in those years. I mean, he was like a pseudo starter, you know, third cornerback and all, but basically a backup. And because, you know, teams had more fullbacks back then. He was a good player. Personal foul machine. He was a pass interference and
teams
a personal
had more
foul machine.
Fullbacks? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, so you didn't need a third cornerback as often.
Wow. Well, that is, it's crazy to think about. You're right. There were some teams that had multiple fullbacks.
Well, I mean, even one. I meant more than zero.
That's crazy.
All right, go ahead, Ed.
Last night's game, I went to bed in disgust when it was tied 0-0 at the end of the first quarter because I had the Notre Dame money line, and I had each of them scoring over 20.5 points, and then in a three-way parlay, and I woke up to a very pleasant surprise, so go Irish.
Well, listen, trust me when I tell you, Penn State fans don't care about your bet.
Oh, that's okay.
I do not.
So, you know, I think the most important player in this upcoming game, and I think it was kind of shown in the Dallas game, was N'Kobe Dean. Him being out of the lineup, the linebackers really just weren't hitting their gaps as quickly. I mean, Oren Burks is a nice player, but it just something was just off there. So I think having him back in that lineup calling the signals is going to be huge.
With the green dot, he and Zach Bond are awesome together also. And the way that they fit with Cooper DeJean, they're like – they're the three linebackers. They are smacking people around. They're doing an awesome job of fitting together in their zones. And when they cover, it's just really solid linebacker play across.
All right, Ed, I got to move here because Coach Vermeil is ready to rock, and we got tickets to give away. Give me an answer for a great supporting character in TV show history. Who's the best ever?
I'd say Gus Fring from Breaking Bad.
Well, that's another good one, man. That is another really good one. We got some big-time answers today. All right, speaking of answers, we'll get answers from Dick Vermeil coming up shortly. Prior to that, though, let's give you a chance right now to win a pair of tickets to the Eagles in Green Bay. Now, here's how you can win them. You got to know the name that we're about to say and the other three names that have been said this week at 8 o'clock on our show. James Seltzer, let's roll a little sounder.
And And the name is...
The name is going to be whoever John Ritchie wants to honor as a good teammate. John was here in 03 and 04. John Ritchie, who would you say... He can say he was a good player or just a good person. Who was a good teammate to John Ritchie on the 03 and 04 Eagles?
Let's go Karell Buckhalter.
Buck!
Wow.
People don't talk about Buck too much anymore these days. Brian Westbrook, an incredible football player and one of my favorite people to block for of all time. But Buck was a good friend, a really good back. And, man, we had a lot of success.
Yeah, you guys sure did. All right, so that's a big one. By the way, James, make sure we know back there in the studio the four names.
I made sure to correct what you said.
Thank you very much. I was going to go with someone else.
You were going to go with someone else. I told Dan, don't use that one. Use what John Ritchie says right now.
Thank you. All right, so four names have been said. That was a little behind the scenes. I got myself turned around. Anyway, know the four names that were said at 8 o'clock this week, and you can win the tickets. Be the first caller. Caller one. On the contest line to say the four names, 215-988-1258. And the first caller that does contest line will win the tickets to the Eagles and Packers this Sunday. Tickets we're proud to give away.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, let's talk some postseason football with a man who knows what it's like to coach in the postseason. He led the Eagles to a Super Bowl appearance. He led the St. Louis Rams, of course, to a Super Bowl championship. And Dick Vermeil, one of the all-time coaches in pro football history, made the postseason a bunch, including with Kansas City. He knows what it's all about. Philadelphia sports legend, and Coach Vermeil is sponsored by Independence Blue Cross. The region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com. The legendary coach of the Eagles, Dick Vermeil. Good morning, Coach Vermeil.
Good morning, guys.
You excited, Dick? You excited for what's up ahead here?
Yeah, I'm excited and concerned. I think it's going to be a very intense, competitive football game.
So let's talk about the concern first. That's in some ways almost more compelling because we know we're all excited. What had you concerned from an Eagles standpoint as it relates to Green Bay?
Well, the quality of the Green Bay. They're a pretty good football team. When you study them closely, they're a pretty good football team, offensively and defensively. And it'll all depend on both of our quarterbacks, how they play, and if our defenses play up to how they have been playing. But it's going to be a good football game. I have us winning by 5 points. That's my computer, 5.5 points. And I think it could come down to that. It's going to be a real fun game, and I think we're going to win, but it's going to be intense.
Coach, I'm struck by the way Coach Sirianni talks. He wants everything exactly the same this week, and that's how he prepares. But if you have to isolate some, I know that the level of play is elevated. I know that this football goes faster, and it's tougher, and it's meaner, and it matters so much more. How do you, as a head coach, adjust for the postseason?
Well, first, I think like Nick is doing, you do what got you there. You do it the same way, but there's no way the atmosphere in the meeting room or in the practice field remains the same. As you know, it gets more intense. The focus gets a degree deeper because the kids, the coaches, the organization knows, hey, it's on the line and it's sudden death. You know, no losing today and playing next Sunday. You know, so I think it increases the intensity of everything involved in preparation.
So how do you make sure you get the most out of these guys who haven't experienced it yet? You know, we have some guys who haven't had the postseason opportunities. How do you explain that to someone?
I think you talk to them honestly. You tell them where your opponent's strengths are, how you match up, where you're concerned about it. They have an edge over us, and we're going to have to pick up this area of our game. Yeah, like, for example, Green Bay has given up 14 sacks all year. We've given up over 30. That's an edge. So what do we got to do? We've got to get rid of the ball quickly. We've got to pass protect like hell. All these little things. And you magnify the importance of the differences.
Dick, how would you sum up Jordan Love? He clearly is very talented but can make some big mistakes at times. How good is he?
I think... I'm getting around at your question. I think when he's on, he's really on.
Yep.
When he's off, he's off. Okay. But right now, you know, he's still pretty darn good. He's still playing at the 96.7 quarterback efficiency rating. But like you guys have already mentioned during the week on your show, how he played against Dallas and Dallas last year, you know, lights out. He has the ability to play lights out. It would be great if you got after him early.
You know, Dick, one thing in that game last year that struck me, LaFleur took the ball in Dallas, and I thought it was like psychological warfare. Because, you know, normally these days, you know, coaches defer and they take the ball in the second half. They kick off that whole deal. But he took the ball, and they scored, and it, like, took the whole balloon out of everybody in that Dallas stadium. Do you foresee something similar if Green Bay wins the toss?
I don't. I think that, you know, you can't predict, because I think you take on each opponent independently and differently. And if he thinks he should because of the evaluation process, he will. But he may not approach it exactly how he played Dallas last year. You know, yeah. He's playing against the best defensive team in football right now. You know, and so I don't know how he'll approach it. But it'll be different than he approached Dallas last year.
Coach, how tricky is it to deal with the mentality of a kicker? Our kicker has struggled so much. How do you manage him?
I get so pissed. Oh, my God. I used to a guy come off the field. I wouldn't do it today. I matured, okay? I'd say, you know, you only have one job to do. You might only get one opportunity.
That's how I feel. You got one job, man.
Job to do. I would do it differently than I did initially, and I did later in my career. I got more mature, you know.
And did that help?
A better approach.
When you dealt with it in a mature fashion?
No.
Well, Dick, how nervous would you?
Kicker.
Yeah, but he struggled. How nervous would you be with Elliott this week? I mean, I think it's...
I'd be nervous. It would control some of the decisions you make, whether you go for it or don't go for it.
You just can't.
First off, you don't have any choice. He's your kicker, okay? But and you believe in him. But all kickers go through a period where all of a sudden they're not kicking as well as they used to, okay? And sometimes they come out of it, sometimes they don't. But I kind of believe this guy that we have will come out of it, but you don't know when.
Okay? Yeah.
And you don't know which kick. But, Nick has handled it professionally as well as it can be handled. You know, very positive and all that kind of stuff. Deep down inside, I'll guarantee he's concerned. Everybody is. And the kickers can always express all that great confidence and all that kind of stuff. You know, believe me, they have some concerns themselves. But if anyone can overcome it, I think it's our guy.
So a lot has been made. A lot was made early in this week about Christian Watson, their top deep threat being out for this game. We haven't talked about it much lately, but I really do think it impacts how confident I feel about our defense being able to slow up that Packers offense, Coach. How much of a loss is that, Christian Watson out for this game?
Well, take A.J. Brown out of our offense, okay? Hmm. You know, their yards per pass completion average is 12.6 yards. That's very, very, very good. Now, you take one of those guys that's contributing to those fine stats, your offense is hurting a little bit. So it's our advantage if he doesn't play, believe me.
Yeah, no question about that. Good. Dick, is there a second-round opponent you'd prefer? I mean, because all these other games happen after the Eagles. You got Washington and the Rams and the Bucs. I know I'm going out of order here in Minnesota. Is there an opponent in the second round you'd like to see it size up at the end of the weekend the Eagles are facing?
Not really. Not really. In fact, to be honest with you, I haven't thought that far ahead. You know, and I've got all this information out in front of me. I've had fun all week. I'm sort of laid up here at the house. So I've been studying the Green Bay and us and our offense, our defense, our quarterbacks in comparison, all that. And I haven't looked ahead. So I can't give you a good response.
Yeah, understood. All right, so, Coach, you've got is it you and your computer or just the computer with a five-point victory? What is your official prediction for the game?
I think we're going to win the football game if we play very well. Okay, now that's a round statement, isn't it? But a lot of people think, well, Green Bay's going to come in here, we're going to beat them easily. You know, it's going to be an intense football game.
Yeah.
And if we take the ball away and don't give it away, we'll win the ball. If the game is even in turnovers, we'll win the game. But just like Penn State yesterday, last night.
Well, let's get to that. My. Yeah. So.
Oh, jeez.
Go ahead. I mean, what a heartbreaker, Coach.
Oh, I couldn't go to sleep. I watched every snap. You know, I'm a big Penn State fan, and God, I mean, I was sick. I felt like I lost the ball game. You know, geez. You know, I felt so sorry for Penn State, and you see, they show the close-ups of the kids on the sideline. Okay, the Penn State quarterback threw the interception. That you just feel so sad for those guys. And look, you look at Notre Dame. Penn State's a better football team than Notre Dame, and they lost. So that's just when you turn the ball over, that happens.
Yeah, that was brutal.
How do you get a young quarterback to bounce back from that? I mean, that is...
Well, I think all quarterbacks grow if they have the right mentality. They grow with in the mistakes they make. You learn as much in making a mistake as you do when you're very successful. Sometimes you learn more.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, but he didn't need to go all the way downfield late back to his right.
Brutal.
At that time of ball game. You know,
I'll tell you what, though, Coach, big in my mind, and I know a lot of Penn State people might not want to hear this morning, or maybe they do. I think a big theme here is it's great to have Penn State football really back. And I don't take that lightly. You know what I mean? That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I don't, they keep getting after the coach, can't win the big one. Hey. He got to the big one, and they didn't win. And only one team's going to win, you know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you got to give him a lot more credit than some of the Penn State fans are giving him.
I agree. Coach Vermeil, enjoy the weekend. Let me remind everyone, get yourself some Vermeil wine. It is the best. VermeilWines.com. Get it anywhere, everywhere, because it is just sensational wine. I certainly enjoyed it over the holidays. Coach Vermeil, have a wonderful next couple days enjoying the game, and we'll talk to you next Friday. Thanks so much.
All right. Go Eagles.
There you got
Thanks,
it. Go
Coach.
Eagles.
Go Eagles.
Indeed. All right, 215-592-9494. What Coach Vermeil's former quarterback, Ron Jaworski, said this week about Jordan Love, if you missed it, he gave a real evaluation of Jordan Love. Ooh. So we'll get to that. Yeah, exactly. Plus, Saquon talked yesterday about the rest factor. And Mike Mayock weighed in on the Eagles and the Packers. That and more. Phone calls on all these topics from Borgata on 94 WIP.
Hey, Rhea, I'm glad I had Window Nation come out to look at my windows in the kids' rooms. They were able to tell me how quick and easy the installation process is.
Which is really a relief. You know, I replaced all the windows in my home with Window Nation. Best decision ever. Their installers were incredibly professional and efficient.
Heating costs are getting out of control. And if you're looking to save some money, replace your old windows with energy-efficient ones from Window Nation. I could not recommend them
more. And here's some great stuff. Don't forget about the financing and 50% off all window styles. Plus, you could get zero interest and zero payments for 2 years.
And it was so easy to work with their design consultants. They helped me find the perfect windows for my home from two choices.
I would not be endorsing Window Nation if I did not have complete trust in them. They have experience. They have the credibility. Trust it by over 200,000 homeowners, including me.
Update your home, upgrade your home with Window Nation. The sale ends January 31st, so call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com today.